Y'all have full stomachs. Amen. Well, we're going to get it. We're going to do it. Thank you for being here. Look at this crowd. I'll be honest with you. When you said afternoon service, they're going to eat, I thought, we'll come in here and there'll be 10 people. I don't think anybody's left. Thank you so much for coming and being a part. Ladies, that was fantastic. Brother McGovern, I'm just taking notes. I'm figuring out how to grow a church. Feed them and they will come, man. It's like you guys have meals here all the time, every time. Yeah, so I'm learning as I'm here, and so thankful for the warm hospitality and the fellowship and the food. Ladies, all of you that put that thing together, fantastic, great, and I appreciate it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. And once you find Galatians chapter 6, just kind of put your finger there. And find 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we're in Galatians chapter 6. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time. I want to show you one verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So Galatians 6 and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit, to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now hold your place there because we'll be back into Galatians. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, a sister verse to the last verse that we read in Galatians. Look at verse number 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So in Galatians, we read in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. You know, folks, I don't want to become weary of the work, and I don't want to become weary in the work. You know, when I read this portion of Scripture, Galatians chapter 6, I could write the word busy beside every single verse that we read. All the way from verse 1 to verse number 8, I could write the word busy. You know, you think about the fact that we're to be busy. By the way, this isn't 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. This isn't instruction to a preacher. These are epistles written to a congregation. And so all of these things that he's commanding us to do, it's not just for the staff or the pastor. We're all supposed to be involved in these things. But you know what? I just want you to think down through this portion of Scripture before we get to verse number 9. First of all, we have to spend a certain amount of our time being busy in restoring the fallen, verse number 1. And those of you that have been involved in that know the amount of time it takes, the amount of patience it takes, the amount of energy emotionally and mentally and spiritually just trying to help get somebody who has fallen off back to where they ought to be. And so I could write busy. We're busy in restoring the fallen. Verse number 2, we're busy in bearing the burdens of others. Verse number 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And as you're a member of a congregation, come on, a family, a church family, you got to watch out for each other because, you know, from time to time, somebody or some family will just get overburdened. Just seems like, you know what, a lot of things happen in a short amount of time. Seems like a lot of things fall on their shoulders. Maybe there's a very well-orchestrated satanic attack against the family. And listen, you know, from time to time, but blessed hope, I just got to go to different people for a while, put my shoulder a little bit under their burden, help them get back on their feet, help them get through a crisis, and then, you know what, praise God, it won't be 6 months later, I'll watch that same person go put their shoulder under somebody else's burden. This is what we do. We help each other get through the hard, difficult things. So we're busy in restoring the fallen. We're busy in bearing the burdens of others. I look at verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Then I look at the end of verse number 6, and it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I think there's a lot of my energy spent just keeping myself where I need to be. You know, trying to keep my head and my heart right in dealing with circumstances and walking close to the Lord. But that takes, it takes time to spend time in the Bible, spend time in prayer, sometimes stop and spend some time in self-analysis. And am I doing what I ought to do? And am I where I ought to be? Again, the word busy, 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 busy. Verse number 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. And every single one of us in this room, you know what? God has allowed us to bear some burdens. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. I think it's the burdens of life that teach us to be the most reliant on the Lord. And so not only are we trying to help in these other areas and reach out and help these other people, but every single one of us have a handful of things. Sometimes something that comes into your life for a short amount of time, and then it fixes itself, and you're able to lay that burden aside. But look right up here, folks. Y'all know this is true. There's some things that happen in life that's just, guess what? It's designated to you. It's a burden that's probably not going to go away. It may be something you have to carry the rest of your life, and you know what? You have to bear up on it. And so that keeps us busy. I'm thinking about verse 6, busy in supporting and encouraging my pastor. It says verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And everybody in the congregation has a responsibility to communicate to your pastor, to encourage him, to be a blessing to him. But again, that takes time. Then you look in verse number 7 and 8. We need to be busy sowing the right seed. We need to be busy serving as the Holy Spirit directs us. And of course, there's a promise that if we're sowing the right things, we'll reap the right things. But still, sowing is work. And then verses 7 and 8 also teach us that there's a certain amount of discouragement that we have to deal with because not everybody is sowing the right seed. Sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of that. But you know, here we go. If you look at verse number 10, I didn't read that verse, but if you turn and look at verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So this whole 10 verses, busy in restoring the fallen, busy in bearing the burdens of others as God directs me, busy in trying to keep my own head and heart right, busy in achieving excellence in the work I do. Verse number 4, I think I skipped that one. Verse number 5, busy in bearing my own burdens. Verse 6, busy in supporting and encouraging my pastor and my church. Verse 7 and 8, busy in sowing and busy in serving. And yes, busy in sometimes having to stop and overcome some discouragement or step in and help where it's needed. Verse 10, busy in opportunities, looking for opportunities to be a blessing to people across my path. And so this portion of Scripture gives us all these responsibilities that every single one of us folks need to be involved in these, need to embrace these. Don't push it off on everybody else. These are God's command to every single person in here to be busy serving the Lord. And by the way, if you're busy serving the Lord, look right up here. You're going to be tired. All right? You know what? There's a difference between being tired and being weary. One of the things that I've noticed about this church is you got a lot going on. And I know you're in a really busy stretch right now. We've been doing the same thing, Blessed Old Baptist Church. Now, I planned my vacation Bible school the very first week of the summer. You know why? So the rest of the summers, I drive by any other church that says VBS on the sign, I can laugh at them and think, praise God, ours is already done. Amen. But that takes a lot of work and a lot of energy and a lot of volunteers. Children's camp, teen camp. By the way, family camp. I'm excited about that because I think it's a little bit of a reprieve. He told me about it, and it's not going to be quite as driven as the other camps. Really give you a chance. I think a wonderful way to reward a busy church is to give them family camp, and you come. And yeah, there'll be some activities and things, but part, there's kind of going to be a good breath and a chance to fellowship and a good time ahead. All of us have to be careful that we don't become weary in well-doing because it happens. And preacher, you've seen it, and I've seen it. Men in ministry, ladies in ministry, dear pastor's wife. And you know what? They're trying to do everything the Lord's signed them to do, but at some point, you see a weariness come upon them. And it's easy to read that verse and say, let us not be weary. It's another thing to be able to pull it off sometimes because, you know, sometimes we have taken on a lot. We ought to take on a lot, but you know what? There's a weariness that comes with it. We're tired. One of the things I want to help you young people and encourage all of you, hey, you know what? If you're not tired, you're not doing a whole lot. You know, that's the way I look at it. I tell young people, stop telling me you're tired. By the way, if you're a young person, don't say that you're tired anywhere near any of the senior saints in here, okay? If they've got a cane, they ought to smack you with it, okay? Okay, you young people don't even know what tired is, okay? But I tell our young people, hey, tired people rule the world. Preacher, are you tired? Yes. If I'm not tired, there's something wrong. I'm not doing enough. And so I'm okay with being tired. I'm okay with being tired, but I don't want to get weary of the work or in the work. Now, how do we keep from that? Now, I want you to just look at verse number 9 because every single point, and we'll go quick here, so listen quick. I'm going to go quick. But every single thing that we need to know to overcome weariness is found in verse number 9. Yes, busy, 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 busy for 9 other verses, but in the middle of it, notice this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number one, you're not alone. You're not alone. Notice it says here, and let, what's the next word? Us, and let us. And if you're not careful, you know, you in a busy stretch, you're doing a lot for the Lord, and next thing you know, we start getting the Elijah syndrome, you know. And I'm the only one, and I'm the only one. No, there's churches like this all over America. There's churches like this all over Alaska. There's churches like this all over the world. Let me just bring a light of encouragement. Hey, you're not the only one. And let us, he said, let us. God used the Apostle Paul to write this. And you know what? The person that was encouraging them not to be weary in well-doing was probably doing more than any of them that was doing. And yet he said, let us. Let us. Let me encourage you. It talks about fainting at the end of this verse. Keep your eyes focused on the faithful, not on the fainters. Keep your eyes focused on the faithful, not on the fainters. This year, I came up with this idea, and it's been, you know, not every idea I come up with works. You know, I got 2 files in my office. In this filing cabinet, there's like, that was a good idea, we'll use it again. There's another round file in my office. Sometimes they go like, that didn't work, you know, but I decided to have 10 this year, 10 old-time religion Sundays, and I decided to pick 10 men that, now here's what it took to qualify to be chosen as one of the 10 men. Number one, they had to be older than me, which, by the way, is getting harder and more of a challenge to find. And then number two, they had to have been faithful and consistent and still stand. A lot of young preachers started out standing for old-time religion, but you know what? Then they compromised and are no longer there. You know what I wanted? I wanted to bring men in, put them in front of my people that have served the Lord for decades. I think the least amount of time any of them preached, the youngster had been preaching for 40 years. And then the one that had preached the most, the longest, Tom Wallace, 94 years old, and he'd been preaching for 70 years. And you know what? Why did you do that, preacher? Because that's who I want to put in front of our people, you know. Listen, you know, you can be consistent. You can finish well. You can stay in the back. Hey, don't get weary. Listen, you're not alone. You're not alone. I tell our Blessed Old Baptist young people, you keep your eyes on the senior saints who have served the Lord for decades that are still faithful in our church. Maybe they can't do as much as they used to do, but you know what? They walk in the door every single week. And when they could do it, they were doing it. Those are the ones you want to keep your eyes on. And be praying for you if you have your VBS. I mean, you know what? It's exciting. I had a sign-up sheet. And I need volunteers for VBS. And so I went to my office and finally took it off, cut off time. I've got to assign responsibilities. And I go in my office and there's a whole page of different things where I need to plug people in, different responsibilities, different positions in order for us to have VBS. Brother McGovern, you know what? I went through there and just took a name, marked it off, put it here, plugged people. We have so many wonderful, capable, willing people that I, by the time I got done, every name over here was marked off, every position was filled. And I remember just sitting there before I know it, tears coming down my face, thinking to myself, thank God for faithful people. Every one of them, I guarantee, that signed up were weary and tired and had already done a lot this summer. But they said, hey, let's just do another week. And, you know, it didn't always happen this way. And I don't know what's good or bad or whatever. Whatever God does, He does. We plant, we water. God gives the increase, you know. But, you know, at the end of the week, to have 19 young people receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know, that was pulled off by tired people. Hey, teen camp, that you heard some of those teenagers, thank you all for. That was pulled off by a bunch of tired people. I mean, junior camp, children's camp, if they weren't tired when they started, I guarantee you they were tired by the time they got done. Man, I'd rather go to the first half of the tribulation period than go to junior camp. I mean, I can't keep up with those kids. Are you kidding me, you know? But I guess what I'm saying is, thank you, church. I sense that you're busy, and I sense that you're willing, and I sense that you're behind your pastor, and I sense that you're all involved in a busy summer. Listen, don't be weary in well-doing, because you know what? You're not alone. Let me give you another reason. Look at the next phrase. It says, in well-doing. So the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. I got to thinking about this the other day, and it really encouraged me. You know what? You can serve the Lord and be tired. Or you can go out in the world and serve the devil, and guess what? You're still going to be tired. Matter of fact, I think you're going to be more tired doing the devil's business than you are serving the Lord. So I kind of thought about this. Preacher, if you're going to be tired, you might as well be tired doing the right thing. If you're going to be tired, you might as well be tired in well-doing. I worked at United Parcel Service for 6 years as I worked my way through Bible college and loaded semis every night. And there was a guy named Mike Albert that worked there also. And me and him, a lot of times, were in the same truck or the truck right beside each other. We jumped back and forth to help each other. So every night we had time to talk. Mike was lost, a young man about my age, but not saved, not going to church, really not interested in the gospel. I witnessed to Mike so many times that when I would start witnessing to him as we're loading trucks, I'd say, Mike, listen, you need to be saved. You know, Romans says, he says, stop. I know, Romans 3:10. For all have sinned, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. And he had memorized the verses, but the little rascal wouldn't get saved. Just caught up in the pleasures of the flesh and pleasures of the world. But you know, it's funny. I had a busy weekend every weekend. Every Monday, I would come in to UPS after a busy weekend serving the Lord, and I would be tired. I mean, tired. I won't go through the weekend schedule, but I got about 4 hours sleep on Friday night. I'd get about 5 hours sleep on Saturday night, and I'd get about 5 hours sleep, 4 to 5 hours on Sunday night, and then I'd be in class all day, and then I'd catch a quick nap, and I was tired when I came in. But it was a good tired. You ever heard somebody say that? You look tired. Well, it's a good tired. You know what? There's a good tired, and there's a bad tired. So I'd come in, and I'm tired. But you know what? I'd be so excited to be able to tell Mike all the things that happened that weekend. I said, how you doing, Mike? And he goes, not so loud. Not so loud, you know. And I say, hey, let me tell you about what happened on my bus route. Oh, Jerry. I said, what's going on? You don't look too good. Oh, man. You know what? I lost my car. I said, what do you mean you lost your car? I don't know where it's at. I had to call and get a ride into work. Well, how do you let somebody lose their car? He said, I don't know. Started out, watch this. This is what the world will do to you. Well, why don't someone make a billboard with this? You know, him and a bunch of guys started bar hopping on a Sunday night. And you know what? He said, next thing I know, I woke up about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. You know, and he'd share some things with me because I'd built some trust with him. He'd say, Jerry, I'm ashamed to say this, but I woke up and I was laying on the bathroom floor in my own vomit. And I got up, went outside to get my car to go to work, and I don't know where my car is. Now, folks, listen. The devil will wear you out. Okay, the devil will go, hey, listen. Two guys come to UPS and go to work every Monday night, and one of them has a good tire, one of them has a bad tire. If I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be tired in well-doing. How about that next phrase? For in due season we shall reap. Now, I guess I want to just give all of you this because it's so important. How do you keep from being weary? Well, you know what? Remember, you're not alone. Hey, you're going to be tired no matter what you do, so you might as well be tired serving the Lord. And there is a due season, for in due season we shall reap. I think very little of the results of what we do for the Lord we'll see down here on earth. But I promise you, in a due season, if you stay faithful, you will see some of them while you're down here on earth. But a lot of what we're going to see, we're going to see when we get to heaven one day. I was preaching at Commonwealth Baptist College just, I think, last semester. And a young lady came up to me and she said, "Pastor Ross, I need to thank you for your bus ministry." I had no idea who this girl was. Senior year, Bible college, getting ready to graduate, go out and serve the Lord. And I said, "Why do I need to be thanked for our bus ministry?" And she said, "Well, when I was 7 years old, my mom just gone through a divorce. And you know what? We moved to Shelburne, Indiana. And your church had a bus that ran over in Shelburne. And they found me. They picked me up. We only lived there about 2 months. But I came to church several times. I fell under conviction of sin, received Jesus Christ as my Savior." And I thought to myself, none of those bus workers back there even know, Blessed Old Baptist Church, they even know this kid that they found. And then they went to an empty house and they're gone 2 months later. And wonder whatever happened to them. Well, I'll tell you what happened to her. God allowed me to see that. And so why, preacher, why should we not be weary and well-doing? Because, well, preacher, it just seems like, you know what, not a whole lot's happening. You don't know all that's happening. I don't know all that's happening. I got a call from a group of churches up in Indianapolis, and they wanted me to come and preach a youth revival. And a large group of churches bring their teens together, and they do this on a monthly basis. And all the way up there, brother, I was wrestling with the Lord on what to preach. I had kind of the message I wanted to preach. Then I had the message He wanted me to preach, and I liked mine better, you know. So I'm fussing with the Lord about the whole time, and then I got up there, and God wanted me to preach a message, so I put the other one aside, and I preached a message entitled, "How Shall They Hear Without a Preacher?" And brother, I preached my heart out on that message, and I envisioned God wanted me to preach this. It's for a reason. There's going to be 20 young men walk the aisle and surrender to be the preachers for the next generation. And I got done with giving the invitation, and nobody moved except one junior high boy. And so a counselor came up and dealt with him. I said, "Hey, if one boy surrendered, it's still worth it." So after it was all over, I saw that counselor. I said, "Hey, come here." I said, "Did that young man surrender to preach?" He said, "No, his girlfriend broke up with him, and he's just all upset about it." I get in the car, brother, and you know, you had those drive homes where it's like, "Lord, what was that all about? I mean, I really believed with all my heart, you know, I was within your will. This is the message you wanted." And so, you know what? I thought to myself, well, okay. And I came home, I really thought this. The next time they call, I'm going to tell them I'm busy. You know, I ain't got it. I've lost it. You know, let the young preachers preach the teen. I mean, it's a terrible, you've been there. It's just amazing how all of a sudden the devil's sitting on your shoulder telling you all this. So I came back. 4 years later, it took them 4 years to get over that message. 4 years later, they called me back. "Would you come up and preach the rally?" And I'm sitting over the phone going, all I can think about is, you know, one stupid junior high boy, you know, broke up with his girlfriend. That's all I got done last time, you know. So I said, okay, I will. I knew the Lord wanted me to do it. Now, this 4 years later, and I pull into the parking lot, and there's a young man standing by the front door, and as soon as he sees me, he makes a beeline for me. And he said, "Brother Ross, 4 years ago you came to preach here. I wanted to be the first one to greet you." I said, "Yeah." I'm thinking, "Yeah, I sure did." If you want to call that a sermon, I sure did. And he said, "You know what? God called me to preach that night." He said, "For the last 4 years I've been in Bible college, just graduated, just got hired by Brother so-and-so, and I'm the youth pastor now, and I want you to come in and meet my teenagers." You know, folks, listen to me. We don't know. God says in due season. We don't know. Come on, Sunday school teacher. You have those mornings where you teach those kids, and you know what? You've decided that, you know, there's 17 legion of demons that have been loosed into your class, and not a one of them heard, and not a one of them cared, and all the study and prayer you put. Come on, bus workers. You have the ups and downs of having a decent amount and people moving away, and next thing you know, you're running out there and picking up a couple kids. And come on, the devil's set on all of our shoulders. And it's time to let somebody else to do it. And you know what? This isn't working. And hey, you know what? Be not weary. Well doing. In due season. Come on, we're not going to see it all. All that money you folks over the years have sacrificed for these missionaries, isn't heaven going to be fun, brother? You know, thousands of people, now that they know exactly who God used and how it all happened, will come to you and say thank you for not being weary and well-giving. Amen. And so, in due season, let me give you the last point. There is a condition for those rewards. Think about this. You're not alone, and let us. At least your weariness is the result of doing right and well-doing. There is a due season. For in due season, we shall reap. That's a promise. We shall reap. But number four, there is a condition for those rewards. At the very end of that verse, it says, if we faint not. The word faint, if you can look it up, you've got the same resources I do. It means to relax, to let up, to give up. To trade in doing well for not doing anything. To decide that someone else can do the restoring and the burden bearing and the pursuing of excellence and the supporting of the pastor and the church and the sowing and the serving and the helping and the encouraging of those of the household of faith. And it's easy for us to get to the point where it's just like, let everybody else do it. I'm going to worry about me. But folks, that's called fainting. And I don't want to faint. You know, you think about it. I told about my dad having that stroke, you know. And after that, you know what? He stayed in the pulpit for about a year. And then he decided it was time that we shifted leadership. And we made him pastor emeritus. I don't even know what that means, but we did it. I voted him to be something. I'm not even sure what it was. But he just wandered around the church and grandpaed all the kids. And the young couples, I'd love it to come into church. He used to sit over here on the second row. I'd come in and there'd be a young couple sitting there beside Dad and Mom asking them questions. And he told me one day, he said, Jerry, he said, you know, my health. He said, I'm only good for about half a day. And he was really serious. Some of you are there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And Bob would say, you know what, he gets up early and he'll go out and he's able to do some things, but by noon, Jerry, he eats lunch and the rest of the time, he just can't. So he said, Jerry, I'm only good for about half a day. And I looked at Dad and smiled and I said, Dad, then do half a day. Listen, nobody's asked you to do what the pastor does. God just expects you to do what you're supposed to do. And some of you, you've been working pretty hard. And people still, by the scores, are working behind the scenes for not only the family camp, but VBS is coming up. And let me just say this. Hey, and let us. Because I promise you, there's a bunch of people, crazy people in Jacksonville doing the same thing. And there's all churches like ours all across the country that still have good, solid people. Hey, you know what? Let's not slack off. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your strength and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And you allow us to be co-laborers, to work alongside. Lord, there's nothing quite as amazing as having God work through you to touch another life. And so I pray, dear God, as we all battle from time to time discouragement, and I suppose everybody that's still in it, been in it for a long time, had to walk past several quitting places along the way where it just seems like there's more reason not to than to. But Lord, I just pray that we would take the admonitions. What a church, the Church of Galatia. Good church. I mean, a going church, a growing church, a giving church. But you told them, listen, you're going to get tired and you're going to get tempted and the devil's going to want you to faint. Don't be weary. I think of the church of Thessalonica, focused on the second coming, giving church, growing church, going church, and yet the admonition to them, be careful that you don't get weary in well-doing. Lord, lift up those that are a little bit tired. Help the ones come alongside those that are discouraged, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to page 470, and let's stand to our feet. Page 470. The Lord worked on your heart. Why don't you come and pray?